Get a load of these wrestling nerds. Together, they've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling. They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
Why, y'all?
Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers. That's what they are. Here's JR and Moose with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
And we have nothing to talk about.
Well, the inner circle is here, Moose. The inner circle is here.
There's what? How many debuts, returns, new faces did we see this last week?
I mean, Daddy's home. We know that.
Daddy is home.
It's draft week.
Right?
The NWA new studio wrestling show Power is being endorsed by The Rock.
Right. I saw that. And we both caught it. Dude, was there a lot of wrestling? Last week we left this
There wasn't off. Enough to watch.
Last week we left this off on Wednesday before the debuts of AEW, Dynamite, as well as NXT.
Which we're learning right now was a pretty terrible idea because now we not only have 1 week to recap and look forward to, but like a week and a half, 2 weeks worth.
We've got like seven shows to cover right now.
This is ridiculous. But I'm excited to get into it.
What do you want to talk about first?
I kind of wanted to go into the news.
All right,
I think I have a couple few pieces here that I find newsworthy.
All right, well, hit us with the news, and then we'll jump back and get into it.
Let's do it. My first piece of In the News, Moose, is Carmella's well-being at risk?
What?
Yeah, this all broke on the Total Divas, which I am shamelessly hooked into.
Excuse me?
As if I'm not consuming enough wrestling.
You're watching Total Divas now?
Yep, but on the show.
You heard what Sheamus thinks about that show, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's
I'm not watching that!
He's not a fan, to say the least. It turned out, obviously, it's been pretty publicly known about the relationship between Carmella and Corey Graves. Don't know what she sees in the Punk, but nonetheless, everybody is into what they're into.
F-A-B-O-L-U-S. Did I spell that right? I don't think
so.
So
the word is Carmella started receiving death threats from fans on social media saying that she's a homewrecker and ruined Corey Graves' marriage.
Ugh.
You know how that whole story goes.
Okay.
So as far as to writing her letters and emails saying that they're going to kill her. What?
Pathetic.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm serious. If you are that into somebody else's life, there's something else for you to do.
Yeah.
Find a hobby.
Find your own life.
Right.
Golly.
Figure out what you're doing. Yeah, look, is it a good situation? No, but it happens every day anywhere you look. It's just those guys are in the public eye.
Yeah.
And they're not, well, not until this week, they're not in the mainstream public eye.
Exactly.
You know, just let them live their lives. We don't know what their life is like. We don't know what their marriage is. I don't know your personal life and who you're dating, like, and
not
how
much
it's going.
Of one.
And, well, I mean, you know I'm married and everything's fine, but do I tell you the day-to-day stuff? And
no.
No. I mean, and if something like this ever happened to either one of us, we're going to be there for each other because stuff happens.
Right.
Man. Temptations happen, all that.
It's like, just utterly, utterly ridiculous to me. But it was I felt it was newsworthy to bring up because it definitely invokes some sort of emotion, some sort of reaction.
Yeah, it kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. All right, moving on. My next piece of In the News. Backstage notes on the WWE draft. Paul Heyman reportedly wants two big names on Raw.
Any
guesses on who they could be?
Well, let me. I've got the pages up.
Okay.
I've got Raw and SmackDown's rosters.
I asked you for some guesses. I didn't ask you to look this up on Google.
No, I'm totally looking this up because I can't guess. If I'm guessing Paul Heyman, I've got to look at him here because it's, dude, my head is spinning with wrestling from this week. It has been a crazy week.
Well, while you get to type it and search it, I'm just going to tell you. Raw executive director Paul Heyman is reportedly fighting for Aleister Black.
First one on the list.
To come to Raw from SmackDown.
I'll give you another name.
Who?
I'll give you another name. Elias.
Really?
Yes.
I have The Fiend Bray Wyatt to stay on Raw as well.
I think so too. I think that's a good call.
And you know what I like about the draft is that they're positioning it as Fox versus USA, not Raw versus SmackDown. It's which network can create the better show, can create the better brand. I think that's pretty cool.
Is that going to be something for Survivor Series to possibly up their game? Are they going to have superstars from Fox's other shows representing SmackDown and then USA's other shows representing Raw?
Well, speaking of SmackDown,
that could make things huge.
Fox officials not specifically SmackDown executive director Eric Bischoff, mm-hmm. but the Fox officials are steadily pushing for Roman Reigns and, unfortunately, the new SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair, to be on SmackDown.
I think SmackDown is definitely going to have Charlotte Flair. That's why she won the belt. I don't think that there's going to be a question about that.
No.
I had no question about that. When we get to our predictions, you'll see why. But, yeah, I mean, dude, I think this – I like the angle. You heard it as well. If you watch Raw this week, they were talking about everything's on Fox. It's USA. And I think that's part of the deal because if they're on Fox – they're talking about USA.
Yep.
Everybody wins in this situation.
Totally. Yep. And the draft, it ultimately is going to create even more excitement from the exhausting excitement we've been getting over the last several weeks in the world of professional wrestling. Ugh.
Everybody's exhausted.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. It's overload. It's exciting.
And just when you thought there wasn't enough to watch, or right? maybe you thought there was too much, NWA makes its studio debut in 2019. Let that sink in. Mm-hmm. Studio Wrestling is back. They premiered Power, the Power Hour, on YouTube, Facebook, and other social media platforms. I know you actually watched it because I made sure that you did. I watched it while I was doing my show, and I cannot wait to get into the results of the first show because I was drawn in.
I loved it that it was so USWA worthy. Yeah. If you ever watched USWA, Jerry Lawler stuff from Memphis, The Rock was there. It's so funny because you have this studio audience packed in, probably 5 to 10, maybe 15 rows deep.
And you can hear what everybody says.
And you can hear the wrestlers talking. You can hear, you know, but they come out, they interview behind this platform yep. or behind this
desk
or whatever. You know, Power for NWA Power spelled with three R's.
Because it's cooler.
There's like aluminum foil as part of their, you know, backdrop and stuff like that on part of their design.
But I'll tell you what, it looks damn good.
It's old school. But this is what people fell in love with when it comes to people like Ric Flair, when it comes to Magnum TA,
ooh.
When it comes to all these old school wrestlers, even Stone Cold Steve Austin was
right?
Stunning Steve. And they mentioned 605, you know, TBS back in the day.
605 Eastern, and Atlanta was, GA.
Right. And that's...
It just gets me excited thinking about it.
It was really cool.
It was a little bit before my time, but still, I am just a wrestling, I wouldn't say historian, but I just love absorbing as much as I possibly can. So I got really jacked about it.
There was a few wrestling, like studio wrestling shows back in the day. USWA was one of them. Smoky Mountain Wrestling was kind of another one because they would do shows like in Thompson Bowling Arena as Ooh. Well. But those were like the big, big shows.
For me, it was Ohio Valley Wrestling. Ran by Jim Cornette, but right. of course I wasn't there, but there were ways to be able to see it.
And funny, isn't it funny how Jim Cornette's part of this too?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's the best in the business.
Interesting.
My final piece of in the news, Moose.
Yes.
Let's jump over to the All Elite Wrestling side of things, specifically the AEW champion, Mr. A Little Bit of the Bubbly,
yeah.
Chris Jericho. He is playing a KKK Grand Wizard in the new Jay and Silent Bob movie. So that would explain
gotcha.
Their appearance at the debut episode of Dynamite.
Yeah, we're going to get talking about comparing debut episodes, the brand new episode of SmackDown here in a second. But yeah, I mean, I saw him on the internet, on Instagram a lot, doing things
He's
together.
He's a movie star, baby!
Yeah, I mean... There's nothing he can't do. He's,
exactly.
he's a lead singer of a rock band. He is probably, hands down, the most entertaining wrestler out there today, plus all this other stuff.
Yeah. So essentially, the film, it was explained as a road movie. It's Jay and Silent Bob across the country. It's in 2019.
Reboot.
Yeah, so they encounter all sorts of different personalities. At one point, they encounter the Ku Klux Klan. And Chris Jericho plays the lead Klansman.
Are you...
As if he couldn't get any more heat right now. He's going to be a Grand Wizard.
Have you watched any of the Jay and Silent Bob movies?
I've watched the first one.
The Clerks, Black yeah. and White, the old one?
No. The first film of them.
The first film of them.
Jay and Silent Bob. What was it, Strikes Back?
That was like the third film.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You got to go back.
I've seen the Clerks. My buddy Joe made me watch that once.
Clerks, and then there's like a series. This is like, I think movie number 10 or something that they're featured in.
Wow.
But there's a ton of Kevin Smith movies. They're all really funny. Are they great cinematic features? Not necessarily.
They're more down that kind of cult classic, builds its fan base kind
they,
of deal.
They'll make you laugh, that's for sure.
Totally. Well, that right there, I hope you have some special sound effect by now. That is going to conclude in the news.
Nope, no sound effect, sorry.
Well,
dude, it's been a busy week.
What a terrible production budget we have around here.
We left off last week, which was kind of dumb on our part. We talked before, because we were psyched about it, talked before the debuts of AEW Dynamite and, of course, NXT that didn't debut that night, but it was the first...
Season premiere.
Well, it was a season premiere, but it was the first head-to-head wrestling on television. How many years?
It's been forever. It's been since 2001.
So nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
Never had a head-to-head wrestling. And some comparisons.
I do want to ask you, which one did you watch first? Because the season premieres of each show was before Hell in the Cell, right?
Yes. The season premiere of each show was before Hell in the Cell and also before the debut of SmackDown Live on Friday nights on Fox.
Okay, cool. There's just been so much to watch, I kind of lost track. So, yeah, going back to that question, which one did you start watching live?
I watched live NXT.
Okay.
As we talked about last week, and I watched live NXT. I watched a little bit of it live. I flipped a little bit here and there.
I'll tell you this. I was...
But I had to watch the rest of NXT on DVD or DVR, basically. And then I watched the DVR of AEW. I had to stay off socials during the entire time because...
Well, what's cool that Dynamite is doing is they're immediately replaying the whole show after it ends.
Well, you kind of think they have to because NXT is running over.
They have the last 2 weeks.
They're running over time, which is another smart move.
So after their Dynamite ends, what do? You jump over to catch the end of the main event.
Of course.
You steal that quarter hour.
Why not? Hey, okay, so let's talk about NXT compared to AEW Dynamite, the debut, the opening. Let's just go from the opening of each show. The opening of NXT was like NXT.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a good hype package. It was super cool. The crowd.
NXT.
The crowd was hype.
It was hype, yeah.
And you started off with probably the best match we've seen. Just pure match.
Yeah.
We've seen this week. Matt Riddle,
Adam Cole. Baby!
And the debut of NXT or AEW Dynamite, you've got a super nice hype package. Not as cool as NWA Power.
No.
With the Dokken.
Oh, yeah.
From 1981. Breaking the chains. Anyway.
Those graphics are incredible.
But the crowd made this show.
Oh, yeah.
Started off with Cody and Guevara. It was an okay match.
He's just a scrawny kid.
But.
He's not believable for me.
I will give AEW credit.
He can move, though.
They told some stories throughout this first episode. Even though you didn't catch the stories, it was kind of like NXT, you already had the gist of a lot of their stories.
You're tuning in for the first time.
Unless,
but they did a good job explaining that.
Right. And I think both of them did that. I think both of them had some good explaining of everything. They, you know, AEW did hype packages and everybody, which they had to. But
let me ask you about those real quick, because I was listening to Cornette's podcast. He's actually reviewing each show each week now.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, these hype packages are good. These promo packages are good. But what happened to a guy just coming out to the ring with a mic saying why he's pissed off and why he wants to kick your ass?
Well, and they didn't let anybody just introduce themselves.
I think the only person that had an actual promo was Adam Cole.
Well, and what they did with both episodes, I think with NXT and AEW, with the debuts or the returns, I mean, think about it. NXT, you had right after the very first match. If you're not hooked into wrestling with that show.
The first 30 minutes were commercial free.
Right. Where AEW and NXT kind of in the same way, they're doing that picture-in-picture thing, which blew. I mean, like, we're watching the main event, and it's like...
Brought to you by Progressive.
Right. It's the nuts. What was it? Yeah. Blue almond nuts or whatever.
Yeah.
So Finn Balor, though, comes back right after the match on NXT.
Bro.
And Finn Balor is now NXT.
Perfect.
We speculated that there could be some people, even Daniel Bryan, possibly going to NXT, which is a good move because it elevates.
A guy like Daniel Bryan, that would be too big for NXT. That would be too big of a desperate move. But a guy like Finn Balor, who had all the momentum in the world coming out of NXT.
First Universal Champion.
Winning the Universal title for the first time, but then immediately having to give it away the next night on Raw because of a torn shoulder or whatever it was, never kind of gained back the steam that he had before. So I think this is a perfect marriage.
Completely untrue. I think he's always had the steam. I think he's the problem with Finn Balor was the demon never lost. He brought it out to win the battles. He couldn't win the battles on his own. That's not Finn Balor's fault.
Is Finn Balor as cool if he's not the Demon King?
I think so. I think if you let Finn Balor be Finn Balor.
Balor cool by association?
No, I think if you...
Because he's kind of part of Triple H's new clique.
A little bit, but if you think about the stables that he came from, the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I mean, being a leader in that Bullet Club, he did a really good job of that.
You see, if...
Devitt? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, if Finn Balor isn't part of NXT, I would have loved to see him come to Raw and just join up with the OC.
Right.
I think that could have been a cool thing, but think of all the great matches that he's going to be able to have in NXT, and you're kind of taking, you know, a big fish and you're throwing him into a smaller pond.
Well, and
it's a recipe for success.
To that point, I think as you get towards the end of the end of NXT, which there was a lot of, you know, good, there was okay, like the Bruiserweight match was a decent match.
Yeah.
But Damian Priest coming out. Dude, how cool. I'm sorry. This is one of the coolest moments in NXT. Because you don't see big time stuff.
He's a big badass.
But he comes out to the ring and does the bow and arrow thing,
yeah,
and then lights his name on fire. That was super cool. And it had nothing to do with wrestling.
And nothing to do with anything.
No, but
it was just unbelievable.
Super, super cool. The main event with the Street Profits and all this. Every single thing was, except for the Velveteen Dream thing. And
that
the
was a little strange.
A little strange. And the women's match was, you know, but... The same with AEW. They had a couple of matches that were like, why am I
watching that.
This?
I like that you just brought up the women's matches, because I think if you were just to stack the AEW women's matches against the NXT ones, the NXT blow them out of the frickin' water.
Even with the match that they had, the women's match was somebody that wasn't, I can't remember her name, but it was somebody that's not the best women's person. It didn't come out there with Shayna Baszler or something right off the bat, which they could have.
Yeah.
But they did later. But...
They had to build for that match to the next week.
Yeah, and I think everything that NXT did told a story, not so much with AEW. NXT, though, ran over. You had the Street Profits going against the Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era wins. They hold their belts, and then you get another return.
Yeah. I mean, you got Tommaso Ciampa.
Think about it, though.
Yeah.
You were talking about Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa, which we were worried about as he went to Raw and SmackDown as an NXT competitor.
We're like, because that was that weird area. We didn't really know what was going on.
All of a sudden friends with somebody when he wasn't before.
When they were just like feuding a couple weeks back.
Right. But he comes out, he's looking directly at Goldie, doesn't even make eye contact until the end of the episode. So here's my question.
He's a convincing badass.
Here's my question. War Games is NXT.
Yeah.
Is this, and I think it might be the next thing coming, maybe in a month or so. Maybe it's around Survivor Series. I'm not sure. But do you think this is setting up for a triple threat?
It very well could be.
Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole.
Dude, could you imagine? Or do you take those two possible singles matches and you spread them out over time and give Finn something to do in the meantime?
I don't know. You're in a war right now with AEW. If we want to talk about AEW...
You got to throw everything at it.
You got to throw everything at it. You know, and here's the thing with AEW. I think AEW, because they won the ratings, it's the new thing. It's just like NWO.
You also have to remember that this is a marathon.
Right. Just like Triple H congratulated them before the ratings came out.
People are super, super curious about All Elite, and I think these first 2 weeks, and we'll get to week two here shortly.
Right.
It's just been some pretty damn good TV.
It has been. And I'll give them credit because the crowd for AEW Dynamite, both weeks, this week and last week, you felt like you were in a major, no matter who was in the ring, it was a major piece of competition.
I don't know, man. There were, like this past week, and I said, again, we'll get to that soon. There are some guys that I just don't believe as pro wrestlers. Like, I feel like I could beat them up, and that's not good.
I think, well, were you watching AEW Dark, or were you watching?
I'm not watching that. That's too much. It's too much.
But, so, if you compare apples to apples, I still think, even with, you know, Sail University, compared to the live crowd. I still got more entertainment value out of my buck for NXT when it came to storylines, when it came to matches, when it came to returns, when it came to surprises. The fun factor was out of NXT because AEW got it with the SEU doing the Secret Service thing. That was cool. Their main event was good, but it had some weird things like Moxley showing up
randomly,
dragging
Omega.
He dragged Omega out and then ended up DDT'd him through
some
glass
fake
table.
VIP area.
So you know. And then Hagar comes out. Of course,
that was the big reveal for AEW that night.
And I think that falls short, though he looked like a beast.
Yeah, but you know, see, I felt the same way too. I was like, I don't know why people are so jacked up about this. I think it's cool. Yeah, but it's not like Brock Lesnar showed up on their broadcast.
Well, I got to tell you.
But where it did kind of make up for it is the following week with Chris Jericho revealing a new heel stable.
Right. And if you want to jump into that, you know, the Chris Jericho doing the Inner Circle, and I think that's a cool thing. Plus, he kind of had Hagar's back. I mean, Jericho, if you want a hype man to hype your partners.
Right.
Who better can you have? I mean, he talked about the crazies, Otis and what are the LAX guys' name?
Ortiz and somebody.
And of course, the one we talked about earlier,
Guevara.
And then Hagar. And he was, you know, even the crowd started chanting, "We the People." And he was like, "Shut up."
Yep.
That's stupid creative. And he broke, you know, kayfabe a little bit. And everybody loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't. And he even gave a little mention to the list.
Yep.
He was on my list and
not
so
the
forth.
List.
Not the list, my list.
Yeah. All in all, dude, it is an exciting time to be a professional wrestling fan. I'm super curious as to what AEW is going to continually offer us. And I am really looking forward to seeing where this whole Adam Cole, Finn Balor situation goes with Tommaso Ciampa. And also Bianca Belair, possibly Rhea Ripley, challenging for the NXT Women's title against Shayna Baszler. Those are all exciting matchups.
Dude, I haven't seen hardly anything with Rhea Ripley until last night.
Dude.
Wow.
How impressed
are you?
Is
she tall as I am? She's
Bro.
Very big.
Yeah.
Like tall height-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And it was scary how tall she was. And here's the thing I think that you compare, like, last night, if you want to just, we'll just skip ahead and talk about AEW last night compared to SmackDown, or not SmackDown, but NXT, which I think is a good comparison. Take their women's division. NXT is miles ahead when it comes to their women's division.
Oh, yeah. It's more polished.
AEW
the wrestling is better.
AEW has a 98-pound champion
as
their first
so
champion. And they had another person that was, you know, battling for that last week for the championship that nobody likes.
No.
Nobody likes that person.
Nope.
You know, your most popular person.
Why not run with Britt Baker? Why not go with Brandy? Or why not even go with Bea Priestley?
Somebody else.
I don't know.
But they go with Riho. No offense. It's just you've got a 98-pound person there, and the only juxtaposition that you have is you have this massive person throwing this person across the ring. Because
it's the old David versus Goliath.
98 pounds.
Yeah.
But to me, if you're going to put your best foot forward, Britt Baker is the person to put it on.
Yeah.
Britt Baker is the person.
I think she's the most complete character they have.
Yeah. And there's a couple others that would challenge for it that people are really behind. But
unfortunately, we don't have Smiley Kylie anymore.
I don't know, man. I think
girl just hung it up.
But she's now in, didn't we hear something like she's going to Impact or?
I don't know.
Something.
It's hard to keep up with. So what do we have next in chronological order here?
Well, let's just go. Before we get to Hell in a Cell, we need to talk about the biggest thing that
the
happened.
The season premiere of Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
I got to tell you.
How big did this feel to you?
Massive.
Right?
This was WrestleMania on TV.
To me, this was like a huge victory for wrestling fans everywhere.
You got the McMahons walking out.
This was We Have Arrived.
New set. They didn't.
The SmackDown set is unbelievable.
Cool. Yeah. And you know, everybody wanted the fist. I'm glad they didn't go with the fist. They kind of went with the old school SmackDown, the oval thing.
Yep.
But they brought it out. Yeah. It makes you feel like as you walk through that, it's WrestleMania Friday freaking night.
Yep. And those blue lasers.
Yeah.
So rad.
For sure. couldn't start it out a better way. I think McMahon's coming out before the intro package, which is awesome. Then the man comes out.
Can I do it once?
Welcome to SmackDown.
One of these days he's going to
hurt my throat.
You're going to see like a vocal cord just throw.
Or his Adam's apple pop out.
Right. Did you hear that there was somebody, it was a rumor floating around that somebody still wants to have a match with Vince McMahon before they retire?
I wonder who that could be, brother.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't read the whole story. The man comes out, Baron Corbin, and then you get The Rock.
That pop for The Rock, crazy.
Oh, the pop for the man.
Yeah.
You know, and of course.
And how much heat did Corbin pull?
But that's perfect. It's working out, even though, I mean, it got a little long in some areas.
All hail King Corbin.
But The Rock coming out and saying, like, budget Burger King on crack and stuff like that.
STD.
Yeah, you got the STD chant.
STD! STD!
Because, and here's the thing, I didn't watch it live. I turned it in live, and they're chanting STD for no reason.
You're like, I need to rewind.
Later in the night, and I'm like,
what
is this all about? Then I back it up, go to the front, boom. This is what you get. But yeah, so, and think about this, AEW. When you're debuting something, you come out with guns blazing.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look, their first debut, they came out great, but they came out with Cody.
Yep.
And nobody else.
Against who? That's the
exactly.
Thing.
Nothing huge. Now, when you're talking about this, you come out with The Rock. You've got The Man.
You got the new King of the Ring, one of the top heels.
Top heels. Not just that, then you back it up with your four horsewomen.
Yes, you do.
Why is WWE where they are now? It's the women's division. No question about it. The guys have really dropped the ball in a lot of areas. The women's division has blown it away. Think about it. We're coming up. It's giving me goosebumps. We're coming up on Survivor Series.
Yep.
This is where the man became the man.
Oh, yeah.
So we're almost a year into the man. You've got the man. You've got Charlotte Flair.
The queen.
The most, I don't know, probably the biggest wrestler today.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
I tell you this all the time. She's the single greatest female performer in the history of wrestling.
And you got Sasha Banks, Bayley. They have a match, you know, and it's a good match. Then you back it up with Seth Rollins getting interrupted by the Firefly Funhouse.
Yep.
Which,
imagine being a viewer for the first time.
It's crazy.
It pulled you right in.
You're
what
like,
in
what
the
is
world
this
is this?
Especially when you've got Ramblin' Rabbit getting eaten by, you know, the frickin'.
And all the cotton's flying out at him and everything. How hilarious is that?
I can't wait to watch that again. I got to watch that again. But then you've got KO versus Shane.
Dude, ladder match.
This was a WrestleMania.
Are they going to be able to keep that up?
Of course not. I don't think anybody can. But who didn't we see? We did not see Ronda Rousey.
Nope.
We didn't see a couple other people, and I think that we're going to see Sheamus is coming back. We still have John Morrison coming back. But have John Morrison come back on the debut episode would be like having Jack Hagar coming back on your debut episode.
Right.
It's there. It's yay.
I saw a photo of Morrison, Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, and I think it may have been Curt Hawkins.
Is it the new Outer Circle?
I don't know, but it might be some sort of new kind of faction. But they look pretty cool together.
The Outer Square.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Outcast.
That's dumb. But and then you get these two other things that really stuck out to me was, you know, bypass the Roman Reigns match and all that stuff. But, you know, when it comes to, like, we talked about KO.
Yeah.
Forgot to finish that off.
He gets the big win.
Dude, he gets the big win. Fires Shane McMahon.
Yep.
We're talking some of the bumps. It was a fast match, too.
Yeah.
Some of the bumps that they both took.
It was just brutal. Yeah. You got to take your hats off for that.
Amazing. Amazing. But then you get into this whole fight with Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman. It's a little weird, but you've got this big Tyson Fury name. What do you think about Tyson Fury?
You know, I don't watch boxing.
No, nobody
does. I have no idea. So ultimately, I'm taking Michael Cole or whoever's doing commentary at their word about how incredible this dude is. I mean, I can go on Google and search him up for sure. It's easy to tell. He's a world heavyweight champion for a reason.
Did you see, A, how tall he is?
Exactly.
I've never seen a boxing champion, A, that tall, and B, his fists are as big as that screen.
I would have loved to see him and Braun actually.
He's got like 9-inch wide fists.
Okay. let's just jump ahead. If we're going to go there, we're going to go there, because I got something that's kind of making me mad about all that.
Okay.
Super impressive how this guy's heavyweight champion of the world, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
How you bring in a boxer is the way they brought in Floyd Mayweather, where he broke Big Show's nose with a punch, hard way. Why are you having them just do a pull apart and not having him throw punches? He just looks stupid.
If you remember right, though, Floyd Mayweather didn't punch and break Big Show's nose the very first time he saw him.
Right.
That happened at WrestleMania.
It was the first time they came to an actual confrontation. They came to blows.
Right. They're doing the same thing with this.
If you remember, it was at the pay-per-view, and Floyd jumped the guardrail, and Big Show got on his knees and said, "I dare you to hit me." So he lit him up and broke his nose.
But I don't think that was the first time we saw them together. Was that the first time that they were
that
like...
That was at the pay-per-view where they... I think they got into it at the pay-per-view. He was there the next night on Raw, and that's when the fight happened.
I already thought they introduced
that's
Mayweather.
That's when they hit him.
I thought Mayweather was around like a week or two before that, and it was...
I don't think so.
They were leading up that there was a beef there.
I just remember how incredible that was.
It was incredible, and I think this is incredible because obviously it's two big guys going at it. I love the way that they backed it up with, if we want to skip ahead to Raw a little bit, which is fine, with Braun Strowman knocking the crap out of AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was unreal.
That was hilarious.
Well,
AJ Styles, what day is it?
Exactly.
Where am I?
Well, let's
all the way back. To
let's real quick. We kind of bypassed the whole Roman Reigns thing. That was a good moment. Him and Daniel Bryan doing the whole handshake, whatever.
Yeah, brother needs a hug.
Yeah. And let's talk about the main event.
I don't care about Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns compared to the rest of SmackDown Live.
Let's talk about Kofi Kingston unsuccessfully defending the WWE Championship against the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar.
Was this the yin-yang moment of the night?
This was the, oh my God, did that just happen?
And was it, that's horribly bad, to, this is horribly good in like the matter of seconds?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Kofi losing the belt?
I like
in
it.
That fashion.
I like it. I think he held on to the title way too long.
I think you're right. It was almost too long.
Kofi Mania, kind of went stale a little while ago. Not to take anything from him, because the guy is just a true professional. He's been tearing it up for years now, obviously. So nothing negative towards Kofi. But who's the most believable, big, badass mofo in professional wrestling? Brock Lesnar.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to call Epico colon.
No.
Sorry.
And he defeated him in what seemed like 5-6 seconds. All of a sudden, you see Rey Mysterio up on the ramp and former UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez, who in theory, that is pretty freaking cool. But let me finish.
Yeah.
When he took off his shirt, I was like, this guy just looks way out of shape.
Yeah.
Which for the professional wrestling fan, wait a minute, this guy who looks soft, all of a sudden Brock Lesnar is afraid of him?
Well,
what sense does that make?
And that's to the uneducated UFC fan.
Exactly.
Somebody that watches wrestling and doesn't watch UFC has no idea, but Velasquez, and they're going off of this.
He's defeated Brock in the past, so they hammered that point home.
He beat him for the championship.
If you don't watch that, you're kind of like... Why is this big beast afraid of this guy?
Well, and not just that, but I think, he was soft. He should have kept his shirt on.
Yeah.
But did you see Brock's face?
Brock sold it like $1 million, and so did Heyman.
It made it, Brock Heyman made that whole event right there feel something special. And then to back it up Monday Night Raw with the incredible promo that Rey Mysterio did, where he was talking about, tying Cain Velasquez in as the Godfather. And
yep.
And it was such an emotional, speech that he put on. I was like, I'm sold. I can't wait to see this. What does this do, though? Does this make Brock an even bigger beast when he beats this guy?
He will.
Or... Is Cain Velasquez actually going to beat him?
Well, here's the thing is from what I've seen on the internet, and again, like we always say, 50-50 crapshoot here, but Cain Velasquez, he's not going to be wrestling anytime soon at all. He just had surgery on his knee.
Yeah, I mean, just to walk to the ramp,
that
he had that big old
brace.
Big, huge brace on there.
Right, but I'm saying if that guy, he was never really like the jacked UFC fighter. He was this guy could just hit hard as a mother trucker.
So does he come back tomorrow night on SmackDown?
Could be.
And just talk about, or
you know, that's the thing.
I wouldn't be surprised
Let him talk, or do you let Ray kind of be his mouthpiece?
And Ray's not the best mouthpiece either.
Yeah, no, he can't have Heyman. So,
but talk about one moment it's such a high or such a low moment.
You're like, oh,
back to a high moment.
Oh man, here we go.
I felt bad for Kofi. I think that we predicted him losing the pay per view before.
Yeah,
but did it turn out to be? Look, what I'd rather see.
It was a SmackDown moment.
What I'd rather. A couple of things. Would I rather see a bit of a match, maybe 2-3 minutes? Yes, for sure. I would have. Just for Kofi's...
I don't know. Kofi gets overzealous. He tries to jump on the beast, and he gets caught in an F5. The cool part is it didn't take 4 or 5 of them to defeat him.
Here's the here's the good part about it. It's Kofi is now going to get more talk about losing and, you know, and I heard this, and I agree with it completely because I'm stealing this. Kofi having a 5-minute match and losing, nobody talks about.
Yeah.
Kofi having a
five second
match, Kofi gets talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Bryan got beat in 7 seconds at
WrestleMania
against Sheamus. So, and who is one of the biggest performers?
Yeah.
It's nothing but good things for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, Hell in a Cell.
I think we have a new champion.
We have a new champion.
A new
Pro
Wrestling Lifers champion.
We might. Let me go through my notes here. Because
remember, when we did our podcast last, there was only 3 matches that were actually scheduled.
Right. We'll go through the card. We had, did you watch any of the pre-show?
No.
Okay.
I had to wait for Michael.
All right. Dude.
That's what I
Michael.
Said. I was like, hurry up already.
Dude, just start watching it without him.
Yeah.
Pre-show, Natalya defeated Lacey Evans.
Boo!
A match we never predicted. We never knew that was going to happen. Was it a good match? Yeah, it actually was. And it was entertaining. So was the one following night on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, Natalya.
The last woman standing.
Dude, I thought that was great.
Yeah, and Lacey brings out the trash can.
And could that trash can not have actually hit Natalya perfectly? It hit her, and then all this content spilled out on her perfectly.
It was awesome.
Natalya getting the win on that, too.
Yep.
Because
I think this is kind of just to wrap things up for those two, because they're definitely splitting up and going to different brands.
Yeah, I think who's going to which brand, though?
Lacey would thrive on SmackDown.
Absolutely not. Natalya's going to SmackDown.
You think so?
She's more experienced. She's a bigger name. Lacey's still rough around the edges. She's going to Raw because you still have the man as your Raw champion.
Yep.
You still have other people that are going to be in Raw that are going to have nice feuds with her. I think that's where that's going. Becky Lynch, then, of course, with Sasha Banks in the first Hell in a Cell. How did you like walking into Hell in a Cell, and that's your first match?
I thought that was awesome. I think you come out the gate gangbusters. I think that's a match everybody wanted to see ever since Sasha Banks made her big return and went heel, went after Natty, went after Becky Lynch. I think this match had great buildup. There was just a bunch of tension between the two, and I love the way they started the match. I loved who won the match, and I just think flat out that was the best Hell in a Cell match that night.
I think without a question, it was the best Hell in a Cell match. I love that, like you said, as the cell was lowering, they started beating each other up.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my God, that's going to land on her.
Well, and not just that, but you know, Becky Lynch taking the chain, whooping Sasha with it.
How about putting the chair up in the corner of the cell, jumping off, putting the kendo sticks under to keep it up. And
right.
Then that drop kick, I jumped off my seat.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. I don't know how much damage putting her in the corner like that did, but it was a cool visual.
It made for a great visual.
Something you ever seen. And what I like about Hell in a Cell now is you become a big fan of wrestling and you watch things. You always know that they put things out during the match that you know that sometime later in the match, that's got to come into play.
Yep.
When Sasha Banks put the chair in the cage, and it just kind of sagged,
and it was perfect because the moment you actually forgot about it, it came into play.
Came into play
right on cue.
Reversed it. Becky Lynch goes into it.
Yep.
I'm with you. I loved it how at the end Sasha Banks stood on the top of the ramp and was
visibly
crying almost. It was. Dude, best match of the night.
Yep, hands down.
And what a way to start it, because after that, it went downhill. By the way, if we're keeping...
Come on. I don't know if the whole show went downhill after that.
Think about it.
I thought the rest of the matches were good.
The matches were good, but we had nothing to keep us there. We had nothing to... Oh, I can't wait for that Chad Gable, King Corbin match. Or, yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that Randy Orton, Ali match.
That was kind of a bummer.
Nothing for that. Nothing. But was the Randy Orton, Ali match good? Yes.
Sure, it was good.
It was super good. So we want to keep score here because we did do a little predictions.
The coolest thing about that is when he went for the RKO and Ali counters it with the handstand.
That was awesome.
I've never seen that before.
Nobody's ever seen that
before. But ultimately, he fell fate to the RKO.
Yeah, I mean, within seconds of that awesome turnaround.
Yeah.
So Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, you picked Sasha, I picked Becky, and that's 1-0.
That's pretty tough because we only picked three matches.
We picked a bunch more that could have happened, which will come into play. Then we went to, let's see here, we had Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns against Eric Rowan, Luke Harper. Fun match.
Yep.
They destroyed everything. The spear across the table was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We both had Roman, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, and we both were wrong.
Wow.
But still, it was good. It was nice to see. Is this feud over? Who's going where?
Who knows?
Roman Reigns, you talked about going to possibly SmackDown.
Could be. Fox wants him.
If Fox wants him, they're going to get him. That means Daniel Bryan's probably going to Raw.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see Eric Rowan and Luke Harper end up somewhere together as a tag team.
Totally.
Again. Then the Randy Orton match, Ali thing didn't basically accumulate until the pre-show. It turned out to be a fun match. We didn't, have anything on there.
Yeah.
Here's the different thing of the night that I thought was really good. Because it's a callback to the old days of wrestling. Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross versus the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. Nobody knew this match was going to happen.
No.
Until the pre-show. And Asuka and Kairi Sane turn heel?
I don't know. I think they just turned Japanese.
That
just means they're just going to go by their own rules here.
But I love how they're just speaking in their own language.
Yeah.
And they're doing kind of heelish things.
Yeah.
And Asuka...
out of nowhere?
Gets the win with the green mist.
When's the last time you can remember seeing that?
Great Muta.
Exactly.
The Great Muta with the green mist.
How cool is that, dude?
I thought it was so cool. And then to back it up on Monday Night Raw to come back and do it again.
Yep.
What
a big shock, though, for them to pick up the win.
Especially with Kairi Sane, with this win... picking up this win, getting the championship, and then the next night, picking up the win again over Becky Lynch.
I was watching the show with my girl. She was there, too. She goes, who the hell is the pirate princess? What is that all about?
I
was like, she's awesome. Trust me.
You know who she is now.
Yep.
Viking Raiders with a surprise partner against the OC. It turned out to be Braun Strowman. This was a dud.
Yeah, I was kind of just there.
I was disappointed in a lot of those things. I wrote some notes down around it. Let's see here. Braun Strowman, the punch in the air was the best thing.
I was going to say, we at least got that big punch, which kind of was like, maybe he could knock out that big boxer guy.
Yeah, and dude, AJ Styles, that was the funniest thing of the night.
His cell.
When Gallows and Anderson are carrying him.
His feet are dragging.
He's like, where am I? They're like... you're in California or wherever they were. He didn't know anything all the way to the back. I wish they would have went backstage later on and still saw him like, oh, man.
It's like, all right, and we're going to send it backstage. We have Charlie Caruso standing by checking in on AJ Styles.
Who?
AJ, can I get a word?
Can somebody answer the phone? just some stupid crap.
He's out of it.
Then you got, of course, the Gable and the King Corbin. This is not a match.
Dude, that crowd was surprisingly super behind Gable, though.
And as they should be, because Gable is now apparently Shorty Gable. We talked about Shorty G being trademarked by WWE, and we both speculated, please don't put this on Gable. But by the end of the match, when he gets his hand raised, the winner is Shorty Gable.
Yep.
And then he's accepted it backstage.
He's like, you know what? I'm just going to own it.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, you can tell Corbin. He's the one that came up short.
I don't know, but it was a good match. Again, these were decent stuff. I mean, the Viking Raiders thing, I was whatever. But like the Kabuki Warriors, the Randy Orton, the Daniel Bryan, the Becky Lynch, all really, really good matches, just no hype. Just no, I have to see this.
Yeah.
But
it was kind of a good, it's just a good match for the sake of a good one, right?
But the thing that got me to want to see things were the Green Mist with the Kabuki Warriors and the victory. Chad Gable, the, you know, Shorty G doing big, you know.
Overcoming.
Then we get a match we finally want to see again. It's Charlotte and Bayley.
Yep.
This is where you go off because we're both, I'm up one nothing at this point. We actually picked this match.
Did I put two on her?
I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah.
Because Bayley.
Let me get the title for you.
Bayley and Charlotte Flair. Put on a great match. I mean, you can't have a crappy match with Bayley and Charlotte.
See, I don't know why you always hate on Bayley.
Well, because Charlotte's there.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. But Bayley really started to embrace her heelness.
Yeah.
Feet on the ropes. You know, you had some cheating, some taking the leg out of the
ring. If you remember,
slamming it against the ring post.
You know, before Charlotte got the tap out on Bayley on SmackDown, Bayley defeated her
right
by removing the bottom turnbuckle and putting her face into it.
Yeah. So really, Bayley is continuing the loyalty of a friend, but not very in positive way.
Charlotte becomes the 10-time WWE Women's Champion.
Woo! The perfect 10.
Yeah, and I think one of the coolest parts that I liked was seeing Bayley's reaction on the outside of the ring. And she's like, why does this always have to happen to me? Why is it always me? Why am I always the fall guy?
Is there a separation coming with Bayley and Sasha Banks?
No, not yet.
Or is this just starting a feud from something else? I mean, where is she going to go from here?
Bayley and Charlotte aren't done.
Well, let's see here. Charlotte's obviously, out of this match, Charlotte's obviously going to SmackDown. She's the SmackDown champ.
Right.
Where's Bayley going? Is she going to Raw? No, she's going to Raw.
No way.
She's definitely going to Raw.
She's SmackDown through in and through out.
And I'm saying this because I don't know what I said who was going to Raw before. Maybe I said Bayley's going to Raw before. But Bayley, Becky Lynch, that'd be good. I said Becky Lynch is going to be the Raw champ. She's going to Raw. Natalya, she's going to SmackDown. Lacey Evans and Bayley, that would be a good feud.
Yeah.
If you have the right reasons before it. Then, as we go through this mediocre pay-per-view,
I don't want to pile on the main event either. I kind of want to quickly get through it.
Here's the thing. Seth Rollins, The Fiend. Everything about it was super cool. Everything about it except the finish.
Yeah. What did you think about the red light, honest?
I liked it.
Really?
I liked it for the fact that it was Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I wish it was a little brighter so I can see a little bit
more.
It
was tough.
It was a little tough to see, and I can't imagine. My thought the whole time through was going, how am I seeing this if I'm in an arena?
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, how are the people up on the first deck being able to see what's going on?
Yeah, how is this happening?
Because, one, the cell is red. All the light surrounding it, all the movers are set to red.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I thought leading up to the finish, everything was working out for me. The boxes that I like to check off in a good match or whatever, they were getting checked. You know, I mean, I thought too, with The Fiend being more of a monster, this guy's unstoppable. I thought the stomp, I mean, Seth Rollins has got a lot of redoing to do because now the stomp is useless against The Fiend.
It's like, you hit it 8-9 times. It didn't matter. And Bray Wyatt's not selling the kendo stick shots. And after a while, I was like, this is just stupid.
That's what I was, I'm thinking the same thing because as you got to the fifth time, I was
like, oh my God, now you're making me mad.
Now it's getting, and the fans started booing.
Oh yeah. Started chanting AEW.
It was bad. And then the finish, we've had these kind of finishes before.
You see they were doing a watch along as well? I think it was streaming on WWE's website or Facebook, whatever.
What, Six Pac?
He was back there.
X-Pac, yeah.
He goes, how the hell do you get disqualified in a Hell in the Cell match?
Yeah.
He just lost his mind. And that happened to every single person on their couch watching at home.
Not just that. It happened to every single person in the arena.
Yep.
And guess who was laughing about it? Vince McMahon. Because he made you feel, not think.
Yeah, he got us.
So he got us good. And, out of all the matches we've seen in the past couple of pay-per-views of a no contest match, this definitely had it because do you want to see Bray with the belt? I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure either. But do you want to see The Fiend lose? No.
Is it time for Seth Rollins to step aside, or is it time for him to, you know, go away, learn a new hold for a little while?
This is bad news for Seth. Yeah. Seth is now going to get booed.
Seth is not cool. He's trending on Twitter.
He's when it comes to his, you know, longevity and his legacy, something's going to have to be rebooted. And I don't know. Something's happening here where,
yeah,
I don't know.
He wasn't even on Raw.
Maybe
they kept him off the whole show.
Well, maybe it's the perfect time. Is he going to be on Raw? Is he going to be on SmackDown?
We're going to find out on Friday in Las Vegas at the draft. So I just like to say it's been great holding this thing for the several months that I have.
Several months. It's been three pay-per-views?
Several months.
No, that's two months.
And I just wanted to hand it over to you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, your new pro wrestling lifers. Heavyweight champion, Moose.
So definitely have to put this on the line very soon.
Yeah.
But I'll be...
Do you want to put it on the line for Full Gear as well? Is that what it's called? The AEW pay-per-view?
I think we can, even though you'll probably win because I don't... It was hard for me to watch AEW the whole way through because I'm just not sold on the product yet.
No, I get you.
I'm just not there yet. But I will be.
Well, I do know we have a couple of more things to go over here, but we are running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
What's really important to me that we definitely get to is the NWA A Power Show,
right?
Which is which premiered this week. Yesterday was it Tuesday? Actually, Tuesday, which is obviously the off day for network wrestling, which is cool. 6:05 Eastern. Everything was taped in a studio out of Atlanta. They have 8 episodes in the can, and they're rolling one out each week. And I just wanted to kind of go over my experience that I had watching this.
Go for it.
I thought this show was such a cool... It was such a cool different spin. It was such a cool different take on modern day professional wrestling. You got the big arena. You got the big 20x20 ring. You got the huge entranceway. It's like, minimize all that stuff.
Yep.
And what actually matters when you're watching professional wrestling?
What goes on in the ring?
The professional wrestling. And I think NWA nailed that to a T. You open up the show, the Dawsons. No idea who they were. But they came out and they had a squash match. They defeated Sal Renaro and Billy Buck. And I was like, you know what? These dudes are pretty badass.
Right.
They were a believable tag team.
Well, yeah, Aldis come off at the very jump, too, and talking about being, you know, the champ.
What a great promo he cut. They gave the man the microphone,
right,
and they let him talk. And they didn't put it in some super cool package. Oh, yeah.
And they also brought him out with a valet,
mm-hmm,
who later on in the night was very Macho Man / Elizabeth-ish.
And it was kind of... It's like, well, no, she can speak for herself.
Right.
No. Let's just focus that. Boo.
Right.
How cool was that? How did that not get a reaction out of you?
Of course.
And then we go into Eli Drake defeated Caleb Coney. Eli Drake also had a great promo as well. And I thought it was really cool how they send them over to the interview part. He does his thing, and then boom, he's right in the ring. No entrance music, no glitter, no pyro, no rampway. I never really got to experience studio wrestling, so I'm living through this now, mm-hmm, and I am sold on it. Every single week I'm going to be tuning in, and I'm going to try to fork it into the podcast anytime I can.
I think it's a good thing, because if you want to go back to old school wrestling, if you want to go back to that feel of when it first started,
keep it simple.
It's good versus evil. It's everything that, you know, just the basics.
Yep.
You know, it is what it is. Plus, you're also going to get some of these creative avenues that are done so inexpensively.
Yeah.
That make it so endearing because of its, you know. If you remember some of the old USWA promos and stuff like that, where they had Ric Flair in these, you know, old-fashioned limousines that he went out and bought one, but it was like 20 years old, but it was a limousine, you know? And they were crap. Everything was crap, but it was so endearing. You loved it.
Yeah, what else was endearing was the hype video that aired for Aldis versus Storm.
Yes.
And ultimately, you get this really cool look at the long title reign that Nick Aldis has had. And is there a more prototypical, perfect-looking champion than Nick Aldis, the national treasure.
No, but they do have some other guys on there that could be champ.
Oh, absolutely.
Too,
and then sure. And then with Storm, you kind of get this little retrospective of him. And he's a guy that I don't know a lot about, but I'll tell you what, after watching that, after seeing a sit-down interview with him, I'm invested.
Yeah, and I was cheering him on the whole time.
Same here. We move on to the NWA Tag Team Champions, the Wild Cards. These guys are a handful. And they defeat Danny White and Mims in a non-title match. I thought this was cool. They cut a promo afterwards. And, you know, Eddie Kingston shows up. He says, look, I'm not here to disrespect you. Bing, bang, boom. We have our next match set up. Simple, right? Mm-hmm. Josephus, this guy.
Josephus.
Whatever. He's like a bruiser Brody. I thought he was ready to fight Cornette.
Yeah.
He's going out of his mind. He's calling out Storm. James Storm shows up.
Yep.
And they get into it. And that was cool. And then our main event, of course, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis with Camille defeated Tim Storm to retain his title in what I thought was a damn good wrestling match.
Yeah, it's real simple. Like JR was saying, it's real simple. It's real basic. But you know what? It's true to form. It's just pure.
Yeah.
You know, and with Jim Cornette on the horn talking.
Oh, dude. He gets everything over.
He takes you through everything.
Yeah.
So you know where it is.
And the big moment in the match is when Storm pushed himself up as he was locked in that like Boston Crab type move. And the whole crowd is chanting Mama Storm because he said he's doing this for his mother who's 94 years old. Dude, that right there, I was just like goosebumps.
Yep.
I stood up, started chanting it too.
Smart idea too, because if you think about it, the views that you would get back in the day were lucky to get what these are going to get online.
Yeah.
What's so funny is how we can't look past of what YouTube and what online video views are. But
what's cool is you can actually watch it when it's premiered live, and then any time after that, right at the flip of a switch.
But it already had, by the time I watched it, it was closing down 200,000 views.
Yeah.
In a week,
dude,
it's going to have, you know,
It's only going to start catching on.
They're going to have millions of viewers, where back in the day, USWA could never have gotten millions of viewers.
So all in all, I just want to tip my hat to NWA for reminding me why I love professional wrestling and letting me kind of live an era that, because of my age, I didn't get to live.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool, and I really look forward to seeing what else they come up with.
Agreed. I can't wait for the next episode of Power.
As if we needed more wrestling to watch.
It's 3 hours. Power.
It's way cooler that way.
It is. Hey, we've got some way cool stuff to talk about. The only thing we didn't talk about, Leo Rush, your NXT Cruiserweight Champion.
Absolutely.
Great match. A lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I think NXT put on a killer show, again, compared to AEW, besides the Inner Circle stuff.
Inner Circle was some of the best stuff that night. I had the AEW streaming up on my big TV and NXT on my phone so I could take it anywhere in the apartment that I went.
Oh my God, that would drive me nuts.
And then we have Rhea Ripley defeated Aaliyah by submission with a gorilla clutch. And, dude, this submission move looks like you're not going to walk for a couple of weeks.
She's a beast.
She destroyed her. And I thought that's great, because not every match has to be a freaking classic, right?
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, you got Cameron Grimes defeated Boa by a jumping double stomp. Then you got the NXT North American Champion Roderick Strong, who's part of the Undisputed Era.
Shock the system.
How cool of a stable is that, first and foremost?
But how cool is Roderick Strong? He is very entertaining to watch.
Yeah,
how
cool is that picture of him on the couch wearing nothing but the title?
It's disgusting.
And Velveteen shows a little wiener on TV.
All right, we're about out of time, so I wanted to get to a couple of quick things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, go
We've
ahead.
We've got the draft.
Yes.
We've got the draft coming up tomorrow night. Some speculations, possibly. Are we going to see anybody from NXT come to Raw or SmackDown?
I don't know, but there's so much more that I want to talk about. But yeah, we are running out of time, because eventually we do have to actually get to work here.
Are we going to see any more people come from SmackDown or Raw back to NXT? Or should I say over to NXT?
Right.
It's not going backwards anymore.
And also, let me explain quickly why I had AEW on my big screen, because they kicked off the show with a tag team tournament. And I love tournaments, and I love tag team wrestling.
And how about those guys losing the first
Young
Tournament.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Nobody saw it coming.
I didn't, so I was invested in that. But also at the same time, trying to watch Leo Rush, which is your flyer versus your submission wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I love those kind of matches too. There are, oh man, this is really making me mad, because there's so many things I want to talk about, but we have to I have to eventually go into work.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We've got a wonderful time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And we're welcoming all new fans. So if you're just checking out the podcast, thanks for listening this deeply.
Yeah.
We're trying to catch
up. We'll catch up more next week.
We'll catch up more and move forward next week. But man, this is a fun time to be a wrestling fan.
Absolutely. For Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Rip them.
By the way, he says that every episode.
I actually nailed it this time, though.
Oh, that's right.